This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, guys, I experienced something that I have not felt in a long, long time today. I felt cold. It was cold this morning when I arrived in San Francisco. Good morning, everybody. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. We're the Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I'm doing the show live from San Francisco today because I'm doing 49ers postgame here at 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. And so instead of driving from my home in the Bay Area out to Roseville and then all the way down to San Francisco, I'm just going to be here all day. And when I got off of the train this morning and walked up onto the street, it was cold. And it felt so great. I have not experienced cold in months.
That's why I wear sweaters now. Just in case it happens.
Just to
here.
Fake it?
Just in case it happens to me. It eventually will happen to me where I'm cold. And I want to be prepared, Kyle.
Yeah, no, I guess. But for me, it's like, I don't... It's not the sweatshirt. It's not the bomber jacket that I'm wearing that brings it. It's just I'd like feeling cold on my face while I was walking. I don't know when the last time was that I felt that. Like, what, March? Maybe?
All right.
It's been a long time. It was exhilarating. As is today. Tons to get into. The Kings played a preseason basketball game last night. James and I have a ton of takeaways from that, and I'm sure you do as well. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line if you want to jump in and talk some Kings. We'll also talk a ton of 49ers because the 49ers Super Bowl hopes ride on this game tonight. Not their Super Bowl hopes, but their chances to contend for a Super Bowl. We'll tell you all about that. But let's start with the Kings. 122-112 loss last night to Golden State at the Golden 1 Center. But James, I thought there was more good than bad. Especially since really you're only looking at the first half of that game, and the Kings did win the first half thanks to a 41-point second quarter. Overall, what was your big takeaway from last night?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting watching the first half. I mean, that's all that really matters in this game. You want to see what the young players look like. You want to give them some game action. But I would caution people to remember that the Golden State Warriors have already played a preseason game, and that might not seem like it matters, but this early in camp, it does matter. And so to have your team go up against a team that hasn't played yet is kind of a big deal. And so I liked what I saw overall from the Sacramento Kings. Anytime you give up 28 three-pointers, there's clearly something wrong that you have to fix. Well, actually, 28 makes from three. The Golden State Warriors, if that was a regular season game, the storied Warriors with some of the greatest shooters, probably the two best shooters we've ever seen in the history of the NBA, their franchise record was 27, and they hit 28 in a preseason game.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, so absolutely ridiculous. But the fact that you're able to stay in a game where you got outscored by 60 from the three-point mm-hmm. line is pretty impressive, especially that first half where, you know, they lead 68-66.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the bigger takeaways is I believe that DeMar DeRozan will shoot 100% from the field for the entire season. He doesn't
Dude,
miss.
Can we just stick on DeMar DeRozan for a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Nothing that happened last night was out of the ordinary or different.
Nope.
Right? Like nobody, he didn't do any. It was hilarious though. How many of those were just vintage DeMar DeRozan? There's a defender on him. He's standing 15 feet from the basket. He has picked up his dribble. That defender is in his jersey with a hand up in his face, playing perfect defense. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
From the elbow, you want it there? Bucket. You want it baseline behind the basket? Bucket. wherever he was pulling up, it was, and then corner three? Sure, why not? And the thing, obviously, he's not going to shoot 100% for the year. I'm confident in saying that. You can mark that. Jesse, cut that take. I don't think DeMar DeRozan's going to shoot 100% for the year. But I think it was just a glimpse into why the Kings brought him in.
Oh, yeah.
Because having a player that just in a spot, hey, tight game, down the stretch, 2 minutes left, down one. DeMar DeRozan's going to get to his spot, and there's just not a lot of defense for it. He's either going to make or miss. The Warriors played really good defense on him in multiple spots last night. It just didn't matter. Smaller defender, bucket. Taller defender, bucket. That to me was the really exciting thing. And it's not even that he did anything different. It was just, nope, that's DeMar. He's still DeMar DeRozan, it turns out.
Yeah, that's who he is. And I think it's interesting because we get to see what he looks like with the current Kings roster. And mm-hmm. while we're still missing some pieces here, you're watching what this will mm-hmm. look like, where you cannot double team DeMar DeRozan. And look, what did he have? One assist and no rebounds? We just saw just the offensive version. This is just hey, roll the ball out there. We're not calling any play sets. We're mm-hmm. going to run base offense. And whatever you feel like the defense is giving you, just go for it. It's just a flow offense, right? And I thought that's one of the most impressive things, where you're just watching a team who's learning each other on the fly. And yep. how does a major piece like this fit in? And the fact is, he fits in perfectly. And again, there's no way to double him. The Kings have too much firepower mm-hmm. in that starting lineup. And there's too much attention that goes towards Domantas Sabonis. There's too much attention that goes towards De'Aaron Fox. DeMar DeRozan is going to have whatever he wants all season long. And that's just kind of the way it's going to be because of the strength of the Kings offense.
I want to get to Domas too, but it felt to me like De'Aaron last night was, and this is, we talked about this yesterday, how what we might see in the preseason opener, or maybe throughout the preception, is going to be really DeMar centric. And I think the shot distribution was really good last night. But did you feel like, this might have just been me because I was believing this was going to happen, so I was confirming my biases, but did it feel like De'Aaron was taking a little bit of a backseat last night?
Yeah.
He was letting the game kind of play out and not necessarily trying to assert himself into it?
Yeah, even when I wrote my six quick thoughts, I said he was coasting. And that's okay. Yeah. It's what you expect. Yeah. I think De'Aaron is a feel player, and he wanted to get a feel for what this is going to look like and yep. pick his spots. And also, in game one of preseason, you're not going to go hard to the basket six times in a row. And he could have done it at any time he wanted. You saw him just shake Podziemski or whoever was on him. It didn't mm-hmm. matter. Just totally shook him again and again and got to whatever spot on the floor he wanted. He just, there's no reason to push it. There's no reason to get hurt. And really, there was no play calls. There was no, set yeah. offense at all. So you're just kind of, milling around and doing your thing. And I thought he was perfectly fine. His productivity was perfectly fine for a guy who's just, easing into a season with a couple of new players.
Yeah, that was a thing I expected to see that I don't expect to see moving forward.
No.
Once they iron out exactly what this is going to look like, I don't expect that to continue to be the case. But again, it's not like he didn't do anything last night. I think he put up, what, six shots, seven shots, whatever it was. Can we talk about Domas?
Okay.
The 15-footer as the trailer? Cash?
He was leading the break, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right. You're right.
The break and just
stop and pop free throw line jumper.
Yeah, stop and pop free throw line jumper. Like, what did we just see?
Insane.
Yeah,
insane. And that was he 3 for 3 on mid range jumpers. I think 3 for 4 maybe.
3 for 4.
You might have missed one.
He did miss one. He hit one like 16-footer, 18-footer on each of the like sort of the baselines. And super impressed because there was no hesitation at all. You're just like,
yeah,
oh,
man.
Oh no, what was that? Like, holy cow! He pulled up and just nailed a jumper. Yeah,
yeah, and didn't like you said. It's the. I don't want to. This is where you have to walk the line between like overreacting to preseason and not. But the fact that he was able to do that and willing to do that, and it's not just that he made them, right? It's a make or miss league. I've often said that. I don't care if you miss, but like, are you confidently stepping into that jumper?
Oh yeah.
And he did. There was, and it wasn't, how many times have we seen Domas, whether it's on the 3-point line or in the mid range, catch it and look, or maybe start to shoot and then put it on the deck. And he's not really decisive in exactly what he's doing. It was catch, shoot. And if that's we talked so much about the 3-point attempts. He didn't shoot a three last night. I mean, we've talked so much about that. But honestly, I'll take mid-range for now.
Oh, yeah.
If that's where he needs to get comfortable first and then start backing up, like that's what Chris Bosh did, right, when he went to Miami. He was like a long two mid-range guy with Toronto, and then they went, hey, if you take one step backwards, your shot is now worth 3 points.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I'm expecting to see. But if that's where it's got to start, a version of the Kings offense, there's a ton of Domas stuff that we can dig into with what they were doing with him, but that small thing by itself alters a lot of how teams have to defend the Kings, because now he doesn't even have to hit them at the clip that he did last night. It's just the threat of it, pulling a defender out away from the basket. Now, hey, maybe he puts it on the deck and maybe he goes around him. Maybe now there's an open back cut. It was not a thing I was expecting to see, but it was outside of DeRozan's start, 6 for 6 and 1 of 1 from three. The Domas jumpers were the biggest takeaway for me last night.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because nothing felt out of the flow, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing felt forced. It's like, it's what you've always wanted him to do and he hadn't done. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that he never shoots a mid-range jumper, but you're right, Kyle. There's always this little hesitation. You can see him thinking, and that seems to have gone away. And if you mm-hmm. can get that to carry over, again, make miss, you want him to shoot 50, you know, something percent from the on those shots, right? Any mm-hmm. mid-range jump shot is not a good shot as far as like advanced statistics. Like most mid-range jumpers for like an average NBA player going about 40% of the time, right? Mm-hmm. And so 40% of the time there were 2 points, so they're worth 0.8 points per possession, right? Where a corner three where you're shooting 40% is also worth that 0.4, but 0.4 times 3, so 1.2 shots per right. possession, right? A right. basket at the rim is 60%, so 1.2 shots per possession. So most teams try to avoid the mid-range. I think the Kings are going to live in the mid-range this year. I think we're going to see sort of what the San Antonio Spurs did like 4 years ago, where mm-hmm. look at how good De'Aaron Fox is in the mid-range. If you can get Sabonis good in the mid-range, and then you can get DeMar DeRozan in the mid-range. But that's also why if you looked how effective the Kings offense was, how they didn't pull away, because on the other end, they're giving up one 3-pointer after another. So it didn't mm-hmm. matter how effective they were. One team was putting up 3 points every time and one team was putting up two. And so you've got to figure that out. You've got to figure out the defensive side. But I thought we saw Domas like at, what do you have, 9 rebounds, 8 rebounds? Incredible. I think the mm-hmm. the assists will skyrocket in this offense.
Yeah,
I think his we'll get into Keegan Murray a little bit, but there were two plays in particular where this is going to happen all season, where teams switch a smaller guy onto Keegan Murray because they think they can, because you know, like, look, what's he going to do? He's going to shoot a 3-pointer most of the time, And then Keegan just like took the bigger the smaller guy right to the basket. Domas threw the ball up and over the top, and Keegan Murray caught and finished at the rim twice. Mm-hmm. It's like, if that's a new wrinkle that they haven't been able to show before, and you know, you have the center who can make that pass, which most teams don't. It just, again, all of the ways in which Keegan Murray can be effective without like having to be some ridiculous go hunt for shots type guy. Like, there are a lot of ways in which you can be really, really effective. And the other guy who I found using the Domas sort of ability to pass was Jalen McDaniels. He missed all of his shots, but Domas kept finding him for these crazy backdoor cuts and stuff. And again, it's a variant on what you're seeing from Keegan Murray. Like, Keegan Murray's going down the middle of the lane, catching the ball, and going up. I thought that McDaniels moved really well without the ball. He just didn't finish around the rim, and like he just couldn't. I think he finished what, 1-for-7 from the field. Wasn't great.
I'm worried about our guy Jalen.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a little concerned.
Someone went out and cloned Mo Harkless and put him on the put him in a Kings jersey, and you're like, hey, is that Mo Harkless? I mean, he looks just like Mo Harkless on the court. It's uncanny.
It's one preseason game. I want to get to the mid-range stuff here in a second. But on Jalen McDaniels specifically, it's one preseason game. Maybe this changes throughout the year. But to me right now, he's a little bit better version of Kessler Edwards, in that if he has to play 12 minutes, I think you're okay with it. If Kings have injuries or the schedule dictates that, oh man, they're a little shorthanded tonight or whatever, and he has to play 12 to 15 minutes for a week, you're probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this idea that, oh man, there's untapped potential and he's going to, I didn't see anything last night that just made me think, oh man, this guy, just get him in this system and he's going to start flying. I think he's just kind of is who he is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping that he settles in, he gets comfortable, and he hits his corner threes and then a couple of back cuts here and there. And then on the defensive side of the ball, he is long and athletic, and he can play multiple positions. I don't know that he's like a lockdown 1-4 defender. I don't think he is, but I at least think that he can be a disruptive force, and especially with his wingspan. It's what you're looking for, you know? Teams throw guys like this at De'Aaron Fox all the time. And in a game, if Steph were to be like Steph and start going crazy, I might want to switch a guy onto him that 6'8" with a huge wingspan.
Just a different look.
A different look. And so I think having players like that, it's valuable. You just need him to figure out where he fits in the world, and then to be productive. Like, try to be a star in your role. Don't try to be a star.
Yeah, and that's where. And you mentioned Steph, but I mean, you can say that about Kyrie Irving, Luka, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. There's so many. That's two teams, but there's a ton of guys in the West that having a player like that, where, man, can you go give us 8 minutes on this guy?
Yeah.
Can you pause? Can you give us 8 minutes on the court and defending this guy a little bit, making things a little bit uncomfortable? It could definitely be a thing. Tough night for Jalen McDaniels to start his Kings tenure. But just night one of the preseason. I want to go back to the mid-range conversation real quick, because I think things have gotten sideways with the mid-range jumper in basketball discourse.
Okay.
There's something in this studio making noise, and it is super distracting. And I don't know what it is, and I don't want to touch anything because I don't work here.
Don't touch buttons, Kyle.
It stopped.
All right.
Here we go. This is the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We were talking about the mid-range jumper, and I think I saw Secure and DeBagley in the YouTube chat say that the Kings were 13 of 18 on middies last night.
Yeah, if they're going to be 13 of 18 from the mid-range, they're going to win every game.
So this is it. The mid-range jumper inherently, like, in a vacuum, is not a bad shot, okay? The reason the mid-range jumper got so maligned was because teams started relying on it too much, and guys were relying on it too much, where the advanced metrics revolution of 3 points is worth more than 2 points made the mid-range shot a little bit of obsolete, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, teams don't defend it. Teams are running you off the line and then trying to keep you from getting layups. And if you want to run off the line and stop and pop a shot from 16, like teams aren't gonna adjust their defense to take that away. The only time a mid-range shot is a bad shot is when you're not making it.
Yeah.
If you have a bunch of guys, if you've got De'Aaron Fox, who's excellent in the mid-range, if you've got Keegan Murray, excellent in the mid-range, DeMar DeRozan, one of the best mid-range players we've ever seen, Domantas Sabonis shooting it like he did last night, if you're going to have that in your starting lineup, take him. Yeah, you want to run De'Aaron Fox off the line and then try and crash? Okay, he's going to stop and pop from 15, and it's cash. And now all of a sudden defenses are having to warp the way they defend because the Kings are doing something a little bit different than everybody else. And I know it sounds crazy because so much of what we've talked about with basketball over the last, decade has been three-pointers and layups. Everybody's looking for three-pointers and layups. Well, hey, there's an entire area of the floor that just doesn't get guarded. And if you can hit shots at 72% as a team from there, that means it's a great shot. And I absolutely think they should be working for those.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And I mean, again, it is going to come down to a numbers thing. You do have to hit these shots, right?
Yes.
And that's always going to be the problem because most of the mid-range shots, just like league-wide, players don't hit them at a high clip. And like when we're talking about like these advanced, like sort of the basics of advanced, you know, statistics, you know, a mid-range jump shot at 40%, if that's what you're getting, is the equivalent of fouling a free throw shooter who hits 40% of his free throws. So that's a guy who, just say one of the worst free throw shooters in the world, shoots 45% from the free throw line. That means that if you foul him and send him to the line, like basically the basic tenets of like advanced analytics say that he's going to score 0.9 points per free throw. I mean, per attempt on two free throws. Mm-hmm. So it's more advantageous to have a 45% free throw shooter at the free throw line than it is to take a mid-range jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, unless you're elite at that skill, at that jump shot, then it really does become one of the worst shots in basketball. And you can see how it happens like very quickly if teams like fall into that. What you don't want to do is allow the other team to dictate what you're doing all the time.
1,000%.
Yeah, so there's going to come a point where you have to be the one who's dictating what exactly is going to happen and not be like forced to take shots that you're not comfortable with. But I'll tell you, like, let's see, last season's stat. No, the 2022-23 season, De'Aaron Fox from 3 to 10 feet shot 55.3% from the field. And from 10 to 16 feet, he shot 49.8. Those are elite numbers for NBA players. And so if you can live in that range with two or three great shooters, that's fine. Mm-hmm. What you don't want it to be is like your whole offense.
Yeah, no, and that's not, that came across like I was saying. They should shoot all mid-range. No, you're going to... Their offense is going to be their offense. It's going to be the drive and kick, the spray threes. They're gonna do all that jazz. It's going to be the dribble handoff. But I think if Keon Ellis drives and kicks it out to Domas, who's standing there 16 feet from the basket with nobody on him, I'd just take that.
Take the shot, man.
If De'Aaron breaks his defender down and there's a center sagging in the lane waiting to contest his shot, pull up from 15. I think when they're there, they should absolutely be taking them, especially if they're going to hit them like they did last night. And man, I DeMar DeRozan was like comically good.
Oh yeah,
it's you go back and watch it. It's just every shot was defender in his face, hand in his face. Like I said, I don't want to say I was blown away because we've seen him do it so much. It's just funny watching him do it for the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we're getting to the point where we've never seen some. I mean, again, I always talk about this. Like, there's an appreciation you have for players when you watch them every day, right? Mm-hmm. Like watching DeMarcus Cousins play every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like the nuances to his game, his ability to contort his body at 6'11" and 300 pounds and cut through players. was just remarkable. Like, just like the agility that he had as a man that big was crazy to watch. And so you start to like develop an appreciation. I don't think there's a player that I've ever like appreciated more watching on a day in and day out basis than Domantas Sabonis, right? The mm-hmm. workmanlike quality to him, the fact that he shows up every single game and gets hit in the head multiple times and just is a bruiser. Like, you appreciate it. And I think when you watch DeMar DeRozan from afar, and when you watch DeMar DeRozan come in one time a year, which is basically throughout a lot of his career, he's only played in Sacramento one, maybe two times when he's playing in San Antonio. But like with Toronto and with Chicago, one time a year, and he busts you up for 19 points in the fourth quarter in a game, you're like, oh man, that DeMar DeRozan guy is really good. But to watch him every day and to see what the work he's going to put in and the buckets that he's going to hit where you don't even know how he can see the rim, you know, those are where you're going to have a whole new appreciation. I'm here for like appreciating someone who does something at just such an elite level and getting to watch that every single night, even if it's like someone who's covering a team. It does. You get joy out of watching somebody do something to like perfection. It really is cool.
Yeah. We'll have plenty more on the Kings preseason opener from last night against Golden State at Golden 1 Center. Of course, the Kings back in action tomorrow night against the Warriors again at Chase Center, and then they don't see him till January 5th.
Weird.
So whatever happens in those games, preseason or otherwise, is going to look a lot different the next time they face off. So that'll be fun to keep track of. The other thing we got going on today is a massive 49ers game up in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. I don't want to get all the way into the 49ers side of this right now. It's a huge game for a bunch of reasons, which we'll get into shortly. But where are you at on the Seahawks specifically so far? Because I can't decide if they're good or not. I have no idea what to think about this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seahawks.
I know. I think you're worried that they're just good enough until they figure it all out, you know, before they get 100% healthy, before Kenneth Walker is there, like, all the time. Like, they're a different team when Kenneth Walker's there. But, like, for me, they can really throw the ball. Like, with their offense, Geno Smith, like, is chucking the ball all over the place. DK Metcalf has totally had, like, a revival. Like, their young receiver was Smith and Jigba. Is just like he's having a great start to a season. Like they have a lot of talent still. I feel the same way. They just kind of feel like a 9-8 team, and that's not what they're playing like right now. You know, a little bit better than that, but that's what they kind of feel like. And the 49ers just like are lost in the woods a little bit. And I think more than anything else, you kind of know what Seattle is. You're just wondering, like, is there a ceiling to how, you know, where they go, and I think there is. I don't think there's a ceiling for the Niners.
Well, like, part of me goes, well, Seattle's beat the Broncos, they beat the Patriots in overtime, and they beat the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson starting at quarterback. Sorry, Jesse.
Oh.
And I didn't mean to bring up an old game. But that's like their win. But then you go look at the Niners schedule and it's like, well, hey, they should have two wins like that too against the Cardinals and the Rams, and they lost those games.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't like you can sit and look at the Seahawks schedule and talk about how it's not been great, but on the other hand, you go, yeah, but they took care of business against the teams that are worse than them, which is more than the 49ers can say.
So no, I totally agree. I just don't think that there's a lot of separation between the two at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll dive into that next. This is a huge game for the 49ers. We'll tell you why coming up, and then we'll have plenty of more stuff for the Kings. I want to talk about Keegan Murray and some of the bad stuff from last night. Is it worth worrying about, or is it just a matter of preseason? We'll get into all of that on the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you until noon here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. Okay. Hello, everybody.
There was no rejoinder. It was just music. I'm like, hey, there's music.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting for the voice track guy to come in. Never happens.
That's my bad. I see. This is where. So, hi, everybody. That's James. I'm Kyle. I'm in San Francisco today because of some other stuff I'm doing for our sister station 95.7 The Game, and I'm bad at explaining things to people, and I just dropped the ball on getting the intro stuff ready.
Oh, so no problem.
That's on me. It's my bad. We're here. We're vibing. We're talking Kings preseason. We've got a huge 49er game tonight, and that's what I want to talk about right now. Okay, I know I'm always dramatic, but I'm gonna do it again here because I think for real this time, I think this is the case. I think the 49ers' chances of being a Super Bowl contender ride on tonight's game.
Oh.
And I say that because, and it sounds alarmist, right? Because it's week six. There's 18 more weeks. They could lose tonight. They'd be 2-4. If they win out, they're 13-4 and they'll have a chance. Sure. Yeah, mathematically, sure. But let's be realistic. If they lose tonight, they're 2-4 overall, 0-4 in the NFC, and 0-3 in their division. The chances that they would hold no tiebreakers at that point, because you figure the team that they are up against for the one seed right now is Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's 5-0 and holds the tiebreaker over the Niners. So the Niners would need Minnesota if the 49ers go 13-4. They would need Minnesota to finish 12-5, which means after a 5-0 start, they would need Minnesota to go 7-5. And I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening.
So no. their margin for error is just so, so slim right now. And if you can't go in to Seattle, again, not a bad team. We're not talking about the freaking Carolina Panthers here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad football team. But the 49ers haven't done anything this year that makes you think, oh yeah, no, they're going to be fine. Like, they have margin for error. They can go lose this game and be okay. Like, no, they've burnt that margin for error, just torched it, threw it up in flames with their 10-point leads in the fourth quarter against the Rams and Cardinals. So now you have to go in, and now the 49ers are at a point for me where it's like, you got to prove it to me, man. I'm done. The last five seasons were nice. That's great, but you've got to prove that you can do it this year. And not against the Jets in week one. And not against the Patriots, who might be worse than the Panthers, to be honest. And not against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go win a division game on a short week against a division opponent that is 3-2 and has been playing pretty good football this year? If you can do that, great. Back on track. Everything's not great, but you're a little more stable. You feel a little bit better. Yeah. You go lose this game tonight?
Yeah, if you go lose ahead. This game tonight, you're in trouble because you then get the Kansas City Chiefs, the other mm-hmm. undefeated team in the NFL, coming off a bye week. And then it's like, okay, that's not a good place to be in at all. And I get what you're saying. I mean, I think that the Niners can get to the Super Bowl, and I think they can win a Super Bowl without being the number one seed. But the path there is just so much more difficult, right? You're just creating this... Like this alternate universe where, like, you're going to have to go beat really, really good teams at their home field. And, you know, again, a team like Detroit, I want no part of going to Detroit for a playoff game. Like, that is a good team, and their fans
get smoked.
Yeah, their fans are like really, really engaged. Like, this is,
yep.
Like, you want the path of least resistance, and that's to have everyone come to you. I think that's already out the window for the one seed. I think you can, like, this team can still be a two seed, but I don't think they're catching Minnesota at this point, especially with them having, you know, what you're talking about, where they've already lost to Minnesota. So not only do you have to beat Minnesota, but you have to have them lose more games, like one more game than you do, because they have the tiebreaker. So it's a mess, man.
So let's do this. Here's a fun thing. So I tend to, if San Francisco, and again, I'm not saying they will, we're talking hypotheticals. Let's just go to the world real quick where the 49ers finish 12-5. Mm-hmm. And let's say they're the number two seed behind Minnesota. So they get home games up until the conference title game at that point. Let's say everything shakes out the same. So in round one, they would host Tampa Bay. Round two, they would host, if the seeding stays the same, they would host like Detroit, I think. It doesn't matter. Anyways, the moral of the story is they would have to visit Minnesota in the NFC title game, a place they haven't won since 1992.
Oh yeah, that's a fun fact. Forgot about that one.
So this just the more this builds out, and again, weird things happen in the NFL. Injuries happen, upsets happen, things shake out, and
Darnold could turn into a pumpkin.
Sure, right. So many. How many times last year did people look at the Chiefs and the way the Chiefs were playing and go, "Man, this just isn't their year. They don't have the receivers. Not even Patrick Mahomes can save this group." Like, and then they go win the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
Like, things happen. So that's why we watch. That's why we're engaged. But when you're trying to kind of flesh this out and make predictions or project, it's like, man, there is no path this year for the 49ers. No path to contention where you're like, there's the easy route. They need to get to spot X, and they're in a great spot. Like, nah, man, they've A, not played well enough, and B, put themselves so far behind the eight ball record wise and within their conference and within their division that everything's going to be hard now. And you're already dealing with the Super Bowl hangover thing. So losing a Super Bowl and then winning it the next year is not impossible, but has been done like once since the 1970s. Mm. It's a really hard thing to do to begin with. And then you start looking at all of the things that are stacked up against them. And we haven't even talked about the Christian McCaffrey injury, which somebody, I think it was Patrick brought up in the, yeah, he said Niners Super Bowl hopes ended with Christian McCaffrey's injury not being a minor thing. Yeah, maybe. That's a major factor in this. So they're in a really, really tough spot no matter what. But on the other hand, they lose tonight. I've mentioned all the fallout from that. If they win, they're 3-3 and first in the NFC West and in the four seed in the NFC. And all of a sudden, you start going, okay, you start, can you upset the Chiefs? They might even be favored against Kansas City, depending on how Thursday goes. But can you beat the Chiefs for the first time in forever? And can then you beat the Cowboys and be 5-3 going into the bye?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, okay, the conversation is a lot different. But right now, man, it's really hard to not feel like the sky is not about to collapse.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about like the easiest pathway, like to like being a number one seed, it may have already passed, because the easiest pathway was to just take care of business against what has turned out to be a bad Rams team and a mediocre Cardinals team. That was your path. And it was to go 4-1 at this point in the season with one loss to the Vikings, if that's what happened. And then you got a couple of losses along the way here that you can withstand. If you don't beat Kansas City, it's not the end of the world. You know, like at that point, you would be 4-2 heading into Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Now, like, you're hoping and praying that somehow you can get to your bye week at 5-3, but more realistic is 4-4. And there's a possibility of it being worse than that, of being 3-5.
If you gave me right now the Niners could be 4-4 at their bye week, I would take it.
Yeah.
I just don't. To go to Seattle, I don't know how good the Cowboys are, but they're at least on the same level as the 49ers, if not a little better so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They just got the 49ers number. So if you gave me 4-4, they go 2-1 in their next three, I would take that 100%.
Okay.
I wouldn't even mess around and try to get to 5-3. I need to clarify something. I have one more thought on this, but I need to clarify something. Maybe you said this. I don't think you did. I definitely didn't say this. I don't think either of us predicted the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl.
No.
I tried to be abundantly clear that I was talking hypotheticals.
Yeah, you were saying if the Niners got to the NFC Championship
yeah,
game.
Yeah, if everything
the
shook
Vikings.
Out this way.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, the Vikings still have to win. The Vikings are, I mean, they've had hot starts before and then flame
yes.
out. And like, who
the
knows?
Vikings.
They look really good, though.
The Vikings right now, like, there's a chance that the Vikings would have to, if the standing stay, again, this is if the standing stay the same, they won't. But there's a chance that Minnesota has to, like, play Detroit in the divisional round.
Ooh.
Or Dallas or Green Bay or Philly. Like, there's a chance that by the time January rolls around, Minnesota's just going to run into a really, really tough matchup in that first round. Or in their first round, if they get the first round bye.
Well, and just remember back to last season where, you know, we started talking about teams of destiny after 4 and 5 weeks, and it was the Niners and the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and where the Dolphins went from there. Like, like there's nothing that says the Vikings are going to hold up at all. I mean, that's Sam Darnold easily could, like, regress, but he could mm-hmm. also get hurt, and then what? Like, what are they doing then?
Nick Mullins, baby.
Nick Mullins, yep. Just run out a whole bunch of former 49er backup quarterbacks and see how it goes.
Here's something I was thinking about with San Francisco, and this is what's been, this is something I've been trying to put my finger on for a while, and I think I've got it. I was trying to decide why I thought this team stunk so bad. And maybe they just do. Like, maybe they're a 7-10 team and we're not seeing it yet. But they get enough benefit of the doubt from me, given their roster and their recent history, that it's like, okay, you can hang around in a way that other 2-3 teams don't.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals. I'm still in on the Bengals. They're 1-4. I think we have to recalibrate what our expectations are of what a good version of this Niners team looks like. Because in my head, I've been going, man, they have to look like they did in 2019 or 2021 or 22 or 23, where they had this really, really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And this offense, it was run first and it was a lot of yards after the catch. It's like, hey, man, there's not a version of this Niners team that's going to be a top five defense. Top 10 even. They may not be a version of this Niners team that's top half. That's out the window. And a version of this Niners team that features a ton of yak and they're running the ball first and Brock Purdy's, you know, pushing the ball down the field some, but it's largely just kind of managing the game. And that's not going to be there this year. If they're going to win, if they're going to be really good, if they're going to turn this thing around and be a team that is a playoff team and a potential contender, it's going to probably be winning a lot of shootouts, winning a lot of, you know, 30-27 type games. That's kind of what I think is ahead, and that's what's been difficult because we've seen the Niners be so good for the last 5 years being a very specific type of team, and that type of team is just not there anymore. And if that's what they're hoping to be, then they're going to be in for a long year. I think the best version of this Niners team's got to look a lot different than it did even as recently as last year.
I think it's tough because what you're saying realistically is that Kyle Shanahan has to do something that I don't think he's capable of. And that is like going in the garage, pulling out the wrench and taking the training wheels off and saying, go run up the score, go dominate offensively. Offensively, we're not going to mess around. Go do it now. This is who we are. This is who we have to be. Brock, I need you to throw for 5,000 yards. I need you to throw for 35 touchdowns, and I need it now. Like, there is no more waiting around. There is no more I'm the smartest guy in the room offense. It's time to bomb and time to go out there and just put so much pressure on the opposing team that, you know, that's our way to win. Because you're right, Kyle. I mean, this defense, they're not there. I mean, you've got two great defensive players, and then there's really, at this point, they're waiting. They're waiting to see if, like...
Mid to actively bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I,
like... Yeah, but Lenore's a good player.
Yeah, but I just can't... The Devontae Campbell thing, I just can't get past, and, you know...
Devondre, even.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. The fact that, they, like, he's just, like, so bad at like, doing what we're so used to seeing, you know, Dre Greenlaw do. And then yes. to walk into the season and have the whole middle of your line just go away, I mean, mm-hmm. they're in a bad spot. And I don't, they haven't been active enough to go try to replace some of these pieces already. That's something that they should already be on the phone doing. But at the end of the day, like, look, if you're okay just being mediocre this season and wasting a year of all of these guys' careers, that's kind of where we're at. Like, you're yeah. in a bad spot. Your record is dictating that you don't just have to be aggressive, like, on the field. You've got to be aggressive to go find better players, like, right now.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Super Bowl hopeful, then go act like it, you know?
Yep.
And that's, again, every year in the NFL is different, and you got to figure out different ways to win. This team here, like, the way for them to win is to just go bonkers on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, and that's where I think that's where a lot of this hinges. If they make a major move, if they make some massive trade and they trade a first round pick or a second round pick or whatever, and they shore up some parts of their defense, okay, then we can recalibrate our expectations then. Because right now it's Fred Warner, it's Nick Bosa, it's Deommodore Lenore, and then, like, Tre'Davious Ward's been okay. But outside of that, like, all right, hey, they can improve at every spot.
No, totally.
They can get better at genuinely, like, every spot. So, Malik Collins been good too, but just not the depth isn't there the way we've seen. Honestly, the way we're talking about them right now, it kind of feels like the 2022-23 Kings.
Okay.
Like the best version of the 49ers that you just laid out is like your quarterback throwing for 5,000 yards and they're running up scores and he's got 35, he's throwing for 35 touchdowns or however many. Like, that's kind of, and I just don't think you can win like that in the NFL. You might be able to win some regular season games. You might be able to make the playoffs if you're doing that. But in the postseason, there's going to be a game where you're held to 17 points.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you respond defensively to that? In the past, you felt okay. Like, yeah, man, they're going to get a team in third and long. They're going to get off the field. They're going to get a big stop. And if that's the version of the Niners that they're going to be, if they're going to have to be, and I totally agree with you, that's what they would have to be good this year, with their present roster construction, that's a divisional round exit, like, waiting to happen.
Well, it is, but I think the key would be that's how you start collecting wins now. And in the meantime, you're doing everything you can to get your defense better. And, you know, whatever that means, you know, whether that means going out and making some trades, you know, someone brought up Devin White who got cut earlier.
On Devin White real quick?
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel very passionately about this.
Okay.
Devin White stinks at football. He is bad. Do you know how bad you have to be? The Philly's linebackers also stink at football. NFL football. Caveat, all-time great athletes in the sense of a normal human, bad NFL players. Devin White couldn't get on the field for the Eagles. He's not the answer for the 49ers.
Yeah,
I'd way rather, the 49ers have four dudes on their roster right now that I would rather play than Devin White.
Okay.
Anyways.
They've got four guys, and one of those guys is currently, you'd rather have him playing? I don't know. I want to see.
Would I rather have Devondre Campbell than Devin White? Oof.
I want to see anyone play other than Campbell. Like,
but it's like D. Winters. They re-signed Jalen Graham, Tatum Bethune. They drafted in the seventh round. I'd rather see all those dudes over Devondre Campbell and Devin White.
Okay.
Yeah, man. But they got to make moves. Dude.
No, they do. They're in a situation where, like, look, you're squandering a season, and you don't have a bunch of these seasons left with this group. you know, we talked about this might be the last year for this group. I mean, like Trent Williams is, you know, 35 years old, whatever it is. Like you need 37? To 35, 36. Every time I think I know how old he is, I'm off by a year.
Yeah, 100% same. Trent Williams is 36 years old. He just turned 36.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's wild. So, I mean, but my point is that, like, look, you don't have time to waste. This team, as it's currently constructed, it will fall apart relatively quick, and yep. You need to go out and support this group because, as of right now, whatever you did in the offseason wasn't enough. And that's what, you know, we talked about the Kings last year. Like, hey, look, this is a perfectly fine team. It's like, but you're not good enough. Like, there's a problem. Like, you have to address specific situational, like, specific types of players that you don't have that other teams do that you can't stop. And that's a problem. And so I feel like kind of the same way with the 49ers at this point. Like, you can hope that a young linebacker might be able to step up and do something. You can hope that Dre Greenlaw miraculously heals faster than anyone thought and gets back on the field and is the same player somehow. Yeah. But that's like a, you know, a big, big, like pie in the sky, probably not going to happen thing. And so the only answer is to bring in other people to go out there and be aggressive and attack, you know, free agent market to, you know, again, to work with your special teams people and say, like, whatever you're doing is not good enough and try to, like, build this thing out. Like, try to address whatever it is that you have, your weaknesses. You've got to figure them out because it's just not good at this point. And you have glaring weaknesses. And I don't think they're weaknesses that you just, like, grow out of, you know?
Yeah.
You have some holes.
Yep. Before we get back to the Kings, I want to very quickly. There's several Kings things we didn't hit in the first segment that I want to get back to. But other things going on last night. The Major League Baseball playoffs continued. The Mets are moving on to the NLCS.
Oh yeah,
they beat the Phillies in four games. Shout out to the Mets. Love an upset. Also love a like lovable loser type of team. Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of here for it. Go ahead.
They're a team that's really cranked it up, and that they got put in a situation where they were fighting for their playoff life, like maybe a month earlier than the playoffs. And so I think they're still riding that momentum that they built as a team trying to fight to get into the playoffs. It's good. Yeah.
And then the Dodgers smacked the Padres 8-0. Felt like an in case you forgot game.
Mm.
Like we were having so much fun dancing on the Dodgers' grave, and it like they were one of the best teams in baseball this year from a record standpoint.
Yeah.
It might have been the best team in baseball from a record standpoint. I stopped following that race late in the year, but that's super. They went bullpen game. The Padres threw their game one starter, Dylan Cease. It was shutdown time, and then bang, bang, 8-0. It's going back game five in L.A. I kind of feel like if you're L.A., you go bullpen game again. Like, why not?
Oh?
I don't think they had a guy. I don't think they had anybody go more than two innings. Use eight pitchers.
I think we were all just thinking, oh, it's a, they're giving in, like they're going bullpen game, and I mean it's how they have to play at this point. So
yeah, that's tough. It's kind of fascinating in baseball though how it feels like the rest kind of hurts teams that get the bye in the wild card round.
Yeah, it's totally bizarre.
The Yankees are so the Guardians got a bye. They're down 2-1 in their series. Game four. Is in Detroit today. The Dodgers are going to a game five. The Phillies are out. The Yankees are the only team that got a first round bye who are leading in their series.
Mm.
I think that's exclusive to baseball.
Okay.
Maybe basketball a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think like the one seed waiting for the eight seed to get through the play-in tournament, I don't think that hurts a one seed at all. Yeah, I mean it's just extra rest.
but if the play-in tournament if the play-in tournament the final game was a three-game series, and that team has to wait five extra days.
No, that's true.
Like the rest accumulates a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, baseball is such a rhythm sport.
Yeah, that's why, man. You get like a week off.
No.
Oof. Mm-mm. That could. You can go in the. You can go in the batting cage all you want. You can throw a sim game all you want, a simulated game. You can even do a little inter squad scrimmage. It's just not. It's not the same.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if baseball is going to change that at all, because it just kind of continues to be a problem.
Mm. Okay.
Or if those teams are just.
I don't know. I'm excited to watch that. It's Dodgers Padres. It's tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game five at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with Ramsey too. I need Kansas City to win game four. I need a game five at Yankee Stadium too.
Yeah, I would like to see Kansas City somehow figure that one out and upset the Yankees, yeah. But that's just because, you know, what I don't want to see is a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. I don't care what anyone else wants to see. I just don't want to see that.
Dude,
like two teams that just, like, bought it. Yeah.
I know that's what baseball wants. The league definitely wants that.
Of course.
Unless you're a Dodgers or Yankees fan, I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Well, I mean,
give me something new.
It's just validating bad behavior by both the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor.
Yeah,
like you're validating sure. them. You're saying, look, we can't compete against those guys, so we're gonna play in like this pool where we're cheap and we don't do the right things.
We're gonna take our revenue sharing and go home. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
All right. Tons more King stuff to get into. We'll do that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.